Six more states go to the polls and one big winner emerges.
Joe Biden had a really strong night.
Plus, understanding why the coronavirus death rate is so high in Italy.
We looked at the data we have so far and we're very puzzled.
And another big interest rate cut, this time in the UK. But how much can central banks really do to protect the economy from the coronavirus? It's Wednesday, March 11th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is What's News. Joe Biden picked up a key victory in the primaries, winning Michigan, the state with the highest delegate count, up for grabs yesterday. Biden also won Missouri, Mississippi, and Idaho, widening his lead over Bernie Sanders. Biden spoke to supporters in Philadelphia.
I want to thank Bernie Sanders and his supporters for their tireless energy and their passion. We share a common goal, and together, we'll defeat Donald Trump. We'll defeat him together.
Sanders didn't speak publicly after the results, instead heading home to Vermont. He's expected at the debate Sunday in Phoenix. The Sanders campaign is hoping for wins in Washington and North Dakota, which haven't yet been called. We'll have analysis of the results and a look at what's ahead in just a moment. The number of confirmed coronavirus cases in the U.S. now tops 1,000 as moves to contain the spread intensify. The National Guard is helping set up a containment area in New Rochelle, a suburban community near New York that's home to a major virus cluster. Colleges across the country are moving classes online and extending spring break. And the Coachella Music Festival, which draws more than 200,000 people to California, is postponed until October. We've got extensive coverage of all the fast-moving developments in the coronavirus epidemic on WSJ.com. We also report that the Trump administration is likely to extend this year's tax deadline as part of a series of moves to address the economic damage of the coronavirus. Details are still under discussion, but the idea is moving the deadline beyond April 15th would give people and businesses a little more money on hand during a rough time. We report exclusively that Pepsi is close to a deal to buy Rockstar Energy beverages for $3.85 billion. This would be the latest move by the company to shift from sugary sodas into other categories like energy and coffee drinks, tea, and water. Let's get some more detail and context on Joe Biden's primary victories over Bernie Sanders. Joining us now is reporter Emily Glazer. Emily, let's talk about Bernie Sanders. We saw him have a lot of momentum early on in the race. Is that slowing down now?
It seems to be slowing down, and that's due in part to who is turning out to vote. Joe Biden is getting a lot of support from a coalition of African-American voters, suburban voters, and older voters. Bernie Sanders, meanwhile, really relies on young voters turning out. And they are, but not in the numbers that he needs. He's also done well among Latino voters, but that helps in more states than others. So right now, just given the turnout, it seems to be going in Biden's direction.
Emily, what does that say about Democrats' willingness to embrace progressive candidates?
Good question. I think it depends on who's going out and who's voting. Joe Biden's campaign argues that he has progressive policies and ideas, but obviously Bernie Sanders is far more to the left, you know, self-described democratic socialist. Elizabeth Warren was more along his lines, and as, you know, she was among others that dropped out recently. I think it says a lot about what voters care about. So far, what we're hearing a lot is that voters really care about healthcare the most, and that is what they're voting on. And Biden's plan differs drastically from Sanders, who is all about Medicare for all.
This was another big primary night. What can you tell us about the path forward, keeping in mind we don't know all the results yet for both of these candidates?
Sure. Everyone is largely looking toward the next Tuesday, March 17th, when there's another round of nominating contests. We've got Arizona, which is a key battleground state. It'll be really interesting to see if Latino voters turn out for Sanders and youth voters as well. But it also is a more moderate state, so that could help Joe Biden. And then, of course, we've got Florida, which is a massive delegate prize, also huge number of Latino voters, but also typically a battleground one state that has gone red more recently. And then, of course, Illinois and Ohio. So it's going to be a really interesting slate of states next Tuesday. But let's not also forget coronavirus fears. That's starting to change already how the candidates are campaigning. Both this Biden and Sanders campaigns canceled events in Ohio. And the DNC announced that the debate in Arizona set to take place on Sunday in Phoenix would not have an audience. So I think that's also changing the way that this race is continuing.
Wall Street Journal reporter Emily Glazer, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now we go to Italy, where the coronavirus is having an especially deadly impact compared to other countries. A big factor is that Italy has the world's oldest population after Japan. For more, we turn to Margherita Stancati in Rome. Margherita, Italy has had more coronavirus deaths than China over this past week. You looked into why Italy has such a high number of deaths due to coronavirus. What were you able to find?
First of all, we looked at the data we have so far, and we were very puzzled because we noticed that the global average is that about 3.5% out of everyone who's known to be infected has died. In Italy, that number is 5% across the country. And in the areas that have worse affected, it was 6%. And the answer was not entirely obvious. Also because it's quite early to draw conclusions based on the data we have so far. But there was one thing we did know. That is that Italy has one of the oldest populations in the world. And we also know that old people are much more likely to die when they're infected with COVID-19, the disease caused by the virus, than younger people.
Margherita, how significant is Italy's death rate as compared to other places that are heavily impacted by the coronavirus?
Well, let's look, for example, at South Korea. South Korea has a comparable number of confirmed cases, but the death rate there is way lower. We're talking about 0.7%. But South Korea also has quite an old population. However, what we know from South Korea is that many of the people who became infected are actually quite young, just because it started in a church where the demographic was younger people. And so they managed to contain it within that area, and mostly younger people caught the virus in South Korea. So it also depends on how and where the virus spreads.
Now, Italy has imposed drastic measures this week to help clamp down on the spread of the virus even further. Tell us about Italy's healthcare system. Is it equipped to handle the current number of cases? What are the challenges right now?
The outbreak started in the region of Lombardy, which is one of Italy's wealthiest regions and also has one of the best healthcare systems, not just in Italy, but in Europe. So to begin with, the public healthcare system was able to respond much more effectively to the crisis than if it started somewhere else, like in southern Italy, which is poorer and the healthcare system is not as good. But even in Lombardy, we're beginning to see indications that the healthcare system is really under stress. And the doctors I spoke to working, you know, on the front line of the epidemic are saying the solution to this epidemic is not really in hospitals. There's only so much they can do to save people's lives. And they say that the only way to really stop this epidemic from becoming uncontrollable is for people to stay at home. And that is a message we're hearing over and over again from health experts and from the government. Stay at home if you can.
Wall Street Journal reporter Margherita Stancati joining me from Rome. Thank you so much, Margherita.
Thank you.
The Bank of England made an unexpected move today, cutting its benchmark interest rate by half a percentage point. It's trying to soften the economic blow of the coronavirus. This follows a similar action by the Federal Reserve last week. But there are limits as to how much impact central bankers can have in this unusual situation. Our Asia Markets editor Quinton Webb explains.
Central banks can help in some ways to blunt the impact of the coronavirus. They don't have a ton of room to move because interest rates are already quite low. And the other constraint, of course, is that however much you lower borrowing costs, you can't force people to get back on planes or back into conference rooms if they don't want to do it. That said, you know, lower interest rates do help. And there are other things banks can do too. So the central bank in the UK, the Bank of England, is kind of incentivizing more lending to small and medium-sized enterprises. The Bank of Japan, for example, has a program where it buys equities. It could do more of that, which might help kind of keep financial conditions easy. Of course, if things got really bad, if there's some kind of credit crisis, then the central banks would probably dust off some of their playbook from the 2008-2009 trials and tribulations. But for now, they don't need to do that.
State oil giant Aramco says it will boost oil output by 1 million barrels a day. It's the latest step in an escalating conflict between Saudi Arabia and Russia. Oil prices are well off their recent highs, driven down by coronavirus concerns and the recent Saudi-Russian dispute. And finally, Harvey Weinstein will be sentenced today after a jury found him guilty of a criminal sex act and third-degree rape. Weinstein, who says he has never had a non-consensual sexual encounter, faces between 5 and 29 years in prison. On the economic calendar, keep an eye out for consumer inflation data for the month of February. And that's what's news for this Wednesday morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.